May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 411. Come, saints, and sing in sweet accord, with solemn pleasure tell, that covenant made with David's Lord, in all things ordered well. Hymn 411. Our reading is from the prophecy of Jonah, chapters 1 and 2. Jonah, chapters 1 and 2. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. And they said every one to his fellow, Come and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation? And whence comest thou? What is thy country? And of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then said they unto him, What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought, and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, Take me up, and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you, for I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly, and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hadst cast me into the deep in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of his holy word and help his servant in prayer.
Most kind and merciful Lord God, how we need thee now to grant to us a breath of real prayer. Oh, we pray for that true prayer that's indicted by the Lord, that the Lord will surely hear. And O Lord, as thou didst hear the prayer of Jonah, we pray thou would hear the prayers of each of us here this night, and that thou would rend the heavens and come down, that we may have those sweet answers of peace granted to us as thou didst give them to Jonah. But, O Lord, do help us to ask in faith, nothing wavering. Oh, do come, dear Lord, and be the master of assemblies this night. Oh, may thy sweet and sacred presence be known and felt both in our hearts and within these walls. Oh, that thou wouldst break down our stony hearts and grant to us, Lord, that heart of flesh and a heart of feeling. And may we have a true feeling religion, that religion that thou art the author of and the finisher of, that religion that will stand us in good stead when we come to die. Oh, we pray that thou would empty us of self, empty us of this world, dear Lord, and oh, do fill us with thyself. May a precious Jesus be made very precious to us, even this night. And may we lose sight of the things of time and the things of this world, and anything that would creep in and mar our worship. And, O Lord, may we be favoured to see by living faith no man save Jesus only. O Lord, we come just as we are before Thee. We've nothing to bring of ourselves. One said our best is stained and dyed with sin. Our all is nothing worth. Lord, we do pray that Thou wilt grant to us that broken heart and contrite spirit, a heart that trembles at Thy word, a heart to confess our many, many sins. Oh, we would be found at Thy dear feet in humble repentance, in true godly sorrow over our many, many sins. Know that Thou wouldst sweetly assure us, dear Lord, that Thou didst come into this world to suffer, to bleed, to die, to redeem our souls from eternal damnation. Oh, dear Lord, do sweetly assure us that we're among Thy dear children, that Thou hast chosen us, that Thou hast redeemed us, that we are Thine. Oh, do save us, Lord, from our own deceitful hearts. Lord, we pray that Thou wilt make us real and make us right, and grant to us, Lord, that real religion that's more than notion, and that we may be found in that narrow way that leads unto life and few there be that find it. Oh, do grant us that heavenly diligence to make our calling and our election sure. Oh, we seek, dear Lord, to be prepared for time and for a vast eternity. And oh, do assure us that it is well with us while life endure, while we're called to die. Do help us to live to Thee and to Thy honour and to Thy glory. And may we be helped hourly, Lord, to cast all our cares upon Thee. And may we have that sweet assurance from heaven that Thou carest for us. And, O Lord, we would commit to Thee Thy dear people as they gather once more. We pray Thou wilt come and suit Thyself to every sinner's case. May those, Lord, that feel to be at the ends of the earth be given that faith to look alone to Thee. For Thou didst say, look unto me and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else. No, Lord, do remember those that are bitterly tempted by Satan. Oh, do cast the adversary out and set Thy people at liberty. And may there be those brought forth from the prison houses and be able to praise Thy blessed name. O Lord, the power's Thine. Those who've got impossible things tonight, we pray that they may have faith given to believe that there is nothing impossible with Thee or too hard for Thee. For, O Lord, Thou hast all power in heaven and in earth. We pray that Thou wilt come and fulfill those sweet promises Thou hast given to Thy dear people. and may they be able to praise and bless thy holy name. O Lord, do guide us and direct us in all the steps of providence and of grace. May we be continually guided by thee, and given that grace, Lord, to endure to the end and to hold on our way. And may we be amongst those that graciously obey thy voice, and that follow in thy steps. And, O Lord, we pray for those fresh supplies of grace to be given to us each. Thou knowest, Lord, the fresh trials that arise, the fresh troubles that come. But, oh, may thy dear people be enabled to be still and to know that thou art God. Do grant us, Lord, that patience to wait for thy time, for thee to answer the sighs and cries and groans of our hearts, and send down those answers of peace. Do bless the dear children, Lord, that gather on thy day, and remember them each, we pray, with the favour thou bearest to thy dear people. Who bless thy truth that is taught them in the Sabbath school. May it find an abiding place in their hearts, and be as bread cast upon the waters and seen after many days. And, O Lord, do raise up a seed to serve thee, a generation to call thee the Redeemer blessed. Nor may there yet be those that shall be steadfast and unmovable, and are made gracious characters in the things of God by thee, that there may be those steadfast and unmovable as are thy dear apostles were. Remember the dear young people. We pray thou wilt help them to look to thee for wisdom and guidance and direction in all things. May they commit their way to thee. Do provide, Lord, suitable husbands, suitable wives, a suitable work, and may they see thy hand providing all they need. And above everything, Lord, do bless them abundantly in their souls, and make them steadfast and unmovable in the vital things of God. And, O Lord, do remember those in affliction's pathway. Lord, there are many laid aside of thy dear children, for those with us that have their afflictions. We pray for those healing mercies to be sent down, restoring mercies. And, oh, we pray thou wilt make each bed in each affliction. Oh, do send that healing if it's thy will. And, oh, may thy dear people sweetly prove that thou art their strength, their portion, their all. You help the deacons here and be with them in all that concerns them and burdens them. May they be helped continually and held up by the prayers of thy people. And, oh, may the hymns that they give out prove to be thy choice, and made a blessing, Lord, to their souls and to each one that sings them. And, Lord, may we know the realities of what we sing. We plead for thee to send prosperity to Zion, and we especially pray for it here and among our own flock at home. And oh, that there may be yet many born again, a bringing back of prodigals, an awakening of many sinners round to come and fill the place. And may there be those yet constrained, Lord, to follow thee and to obey thy voice and to keep thy commandments. For thou hast said, if ye love me, keep my commandments. And oh, that thou wouldst constrain others, Lord, we thank thee for those thou art bringing here and there. But oh, may there yet be the sound of an abundance of rain, and thy blessed Spirit's work manifested. We do beseech thee to comfort all that are bereaved and mourning and sorrowful. And oh, may their day be hastened when their sorrow shall be turned into joy. Remember thy dear servants, dear Lord. We pray for that anointing to be granted to them as they venture forth service by service. And may thy word through them be clothed with divine power. And may there be that real fruit to follow, dear Lord. For thou hast said, by me is thy fruit found. And O Lord, we pray for this guilty nation, that thou would hear the prayers put up for thy appeal. Oh, that thy grace and fear may be put in our rulers and leaders, in our prime minister and those in government. They may be brought to turn from themselves and turn from man and turn to thee, the only true God. And may we see yet thy will being done throughout this land. May we be delivered from all the powers of evil, the much wickedness that abounds. And in the midst of deserved wrath, dear Lord, remember mercy still. Do bless thy little remnant throughout the earth. And oh, may those that are in persecution and opposition and full of trouble see thy blessed hand appearing for them. And we would praise thee for all thy great mercies, dear Lord. Those mercies that are countless as the sand that daily we receive. We would give thee all the praise and all the glory. So anoint one now to speak a few things in thy holy name. May the word, though sown in weakness, be raised in power. May it be applied to the hearts of thy people and bring forth fruit to thy honour, to thy glory. Do help us, dear Lord, to love and praise thee more, and help us to sing thy praises from our heart. May we know the realities of what we sing. Make up in giving where we so fail in asking. And oh, do blot out all our many, many sins and anything we've uttered amiss. We ask it for Jesus' sake.
Let us sing hymn 1156. What sacred fountain yonder springs up from the throne of God, and all new covenant blessings brings. 'Tis Jesus' precious blood. Hymn 1156.
Thank you.
seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I direct you to the book of Jonah, chapter 2, and the last part of verse 4. The book of Jonah, chapter 2, and the latter part of verse 4. Yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The book of Jonah, chapter 2, and the latter part of verse 4. Yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. We find here solemnly recorded concerning the city of Nineveh that the wickedness of it came up before the Lord, and he saw all the wickedness there was in Jonah's day in that city. And really, you know, he sees the wickedness there is in every village, every town, every city in this land, in this solemn day in which we live. But to bring it home closer, he sees the wickedness in each of our hearts. Nothing escapes his sight. The eye of the Lord was upon Nineveh at this time. The eye of the Lord is upon each of us and upon every part of this land and all throughout the earth. And the Lord, as he saw that wickedness in Nineveh, spoke to Jonah that he should go and should preach in that city the great need of repentance before God. And what did Jonah do with that commission and that commandment? Well, we've no stones really to cast at him, because if we are left to ourselves, we do the same, wouldn't we? He was disobedient to the commandment of God. And look in your heart and mine, it's rested upon me much today. Have we, each of us, been commanded by the Lord to do a thing that our flesh will be like Jonah, and it is shrinking from it, it's saying, well, we will not do that, Lord? And it reminds me, a great uncle of mine, many years ago now, he was greatly exercised concerning the sacred ordinance of baptism and following his dear Redeemer. And his wife was so blessed, and she ventured. But he said to his pastor, but I'm not going to come. And yet the Lord had so favoured him. And his dear pastor said to him, the Lord will speak to you once more in this matter. And if you don't obey then, he'll lay his hand on you. Well, after a season, the Lord did wonderfully bless him, and he was full of the blessing of the Lord. that he was the type of man that was very awkward and obstinate, and he told the Lord he was not going to go. And he told his pastor, he said, "I'm not going. I'm going to be disobedient." And within a few days, the Lord laid an affliction on him. And he was put in his bed, and he lay in that bed for 6 years, to his day of his death. And I often think about that, you know. What did the Apostle Paul say? "Be ye as obedient children." You know, those of us that have got children and grandchildren, it's nothing more encouraging than to a dear parent to see their child obedient. Well, you think of it in far greater way. Think about Jonah, you see. His disobedience didn't escape the sight of the Lord, did it? It seemed to so rest upon me today, and many things we would preach this to ourselves. And you know, there are many commandments which the Lord commands his dear people to do, but how often we are disobedient to them, aren't we? Let me just use this illustration. He commands us in his word that men ought always to pray and not to faint. And they were the words of the Saviour himself. But you think how often when some trouble comes, or some cross comes, or some distress comes upon us, and we're fainting, aren't we? Dear Mr. Frank Gosden said, if we are honest, he said, we faint more than we pray. When the Lord said, you see, men ought always to pray and not to faint, you know, that was a clear commandment given. I know what some will say, well, we cannot give ourselves a spirit of prayer, and many shelter under that, and that is true, but, you know, we should ever strive to be obedient. And you think, as we read in the lesson here this evening, of the disobedience of Jonah, and where did it bring him? It didn't bring him in a comfortable, easy place, did it? It brought him into the depths of the sea. And there's just a few points I want to name before we look at the text. Firstly, in his disobedience, he sought a way out from obeying the commandment. And everything seemed to go in his favour, didn't it? He goes down, and there was the ship going to Tarshish, all ready to take him. It looked as though he was going to be able to get out of it all. And, you know, we are so often really taking the ship to Tarshish, aren't we, when some difficulty comes, or some trial, or some bitter temptation in our hearts, or something in providence, and we think, well, we'll try and get out of it. And we're going to take the ship to Tarshish. I remember reading, if I may just inject this into it, about John Warburton on one occasion. He was preaching at special services with the late Mr. Prince. Well, the late Mr. Prince, of course, was a wonderful preacher like John Warburton was. And Mr. Prince preached in the afternoon service. And then they had tea at the chapel. Mr. Prince was wonderfully helped and anointed to preach. The blessing of heaven was descending under his ministry. But at tea time, they had tea together and they went for a walk before the evening service. And John Warburton said to Mr. Prince, "I cannot begin, after hearing you this afternoon, begin to preach the evening service. It's impossible." Well, as they were walking along the road, John Warburton was telling him all why he shouldn't preach that evening service. They came to the railway station. And Mr. Prince said, "John, you stand here in the road and wait for me. I won't be only a few minutes." And he went to the ticket office and he said to the clerk, "Have you got a ticket to Tarshish?" And of course the ticket officer said, "Oh no, we've not got a ticket to Tarshish." So he went back to John Warburton and he said, "Dear John," he said, "you know, you've got to preach tonight. I can't get you the ticket to Tarshish." And it went right home into John Warburton's heart how he must be obedient to the Lord, not how he felt. And here, think of Jonah. He goes on this ship and what happens? Well, we had the record this evening and you've read it no doubt many times. They hadn't gone far. A great wind came upon the sea. A mighty tempest in the sea. The ship was like to be broken. Now the mariners in that ship, they did all that they could to try and stabilise it and make it light by casting the wares overboard. But Jonah wasn't troubled about it, was he? What was he doing? We read, didn't we? Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship and he lay and was fast asleep. See how unconcerned and unexercised we can become. If we know our own heart, we've no stones to cast at Jonah. But he must be awake. And the shipmaster came and said unto him, "What meanest thou, O sleeper?" Now let's just pause a moment. You know, it's easy to sleep. It's a solemn thing if we're sleeping in just a form of religion or sleeping in an unexercised state or sleeping in a disobedient state. "What meanest thou, O sleeper?" And then he commands him this: "Arise. Call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not." He had to be stirred up to prayer. And the shipmaster was to be used in this to cause him to seek the God of heaven. And then of course they cast the lots and the lot fell upon Jonah. And the Lord brought home to dear Jonah that he was the cause of this storm. solemn thing, you know, if we are the cause of any trouble or any turmoil. The sea was raging and the tempest, all because of Jonah's disobedience. And then he has to be cast overboard into the sea. And as soon as he was cast overboard, what do we read? Wherefore they cried unto the Lord, this was those in the ship, and said, we beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Immediately, you know, we believe, don't we, all things are in the Lord's hand, but you look at every detail in this and you'll see how everything was in the Lord's hand. Jonah was God's servant. The Lord loved Jonah. He didn't love his disobedience, though. The sea couldn't destroy Jonah. The tempest, though it raged, could not destroy him. And what had the Lord done? He'd prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. You know, that's a wonderful thing, really, you know. And the Lord Jesus took it up in his ministry about Jonah. As Jonah was in 3 days and 3 nights in the fish's belly, so was the Son of Man 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. That's what the Word of God tells us. He must lie in that tomb those 3 days and 3 nights. And here, you know, there's a wonderful prophecy, really, of what was to come concerning the dear Redeemer and his death and how he must lie in the heart of the earth. But then in this second chapter, and I'll be brief, we find much could be said on it. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. This is what he did. Real prayer was now going out of the heart of dear Jonah, ascending into the ears of the God of heaven. You know, the Lord will use various circumstances to bring his dear people to real prayer. Oh, he will. He causes, like he did here, this trouble Jonah was in, and we may say he got himself into it, and sometimes we do, don't we? Maybe because of disobedience. It may be we say something we would better have not said, when he brings us into trouble. It may be we kept silence when we should speak, and it brings us into trouble. Or it may be something comes in our pathway in providence or in our souls, and it brings us to cry unto him. You know, I love this term where it says how he cried unto the Lord. That's what often draws me to the book of the Psalms, because you think how many times we read David crying unto his God. Sometimes you cry unto the Lord and you don't know how to put one word in front of the other, do you? But you cry unto him. It's like a little babe, you see. He's in need. He's hungry. It may be distressed. And it cries. It's the only way it can make its feelings known to its dear mother or father or those caring for it. And think about it spiritually. He cried unto the God of heaven, out of the fish's belly. Now, there's a blessed point here, really. Look how low he has to come to cry. Out of the fish's belly, down in the depths of the sea. And Mr. Mulver used to say, are we low enough for Christ? You see, the Lord will bring his dear people into the depths. And so often in those depths, they have the most blessed appearing of the Lord manifested to them. In firstly, in giving them that real fervent prayer. And secondly, in the answer being given. And look how low Jonah came. He says, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I. The margin says, out of the grave. You couldn't get much lower than that, poor soul, could you? Out of the grave. Out of the depths. He cries unto the Lord. And then he says this, for thou hadst cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas. The floods compassed me about, all thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then he says this, then said I am cast out of thy sight. That's a very searching place to be brought. Cast out of, we know that's what we deserve because of our sin, to be cast out of his sight forever. But oh, to feel it and to know it, it's a most searching place. And this is where Jonah was brought. Before I look at the text, there were reasons why he had to go into that sea. Firstly, as we have named, his disobedience. Secondly, he was to learn real repentance before God. Oh, he was. And he learnt it in the depths of the sea. Oh, he did. He learnt it there so he could preach it in the city of Nineveh. Do you know what it is to be a poor, repenting sinner? Well, if we know our sin in our heart by the Holy Spirit's teaching, we shall know what it is to need God-given repentance. And there are two blessed aspects to that. Firstly, real repentance is a turning completely round, a turning away from the sin, and a turning to the Lord. One of the old preachers, when he used to preach on repentance, he used to turn back to the congregation. He said, friends, that's what the Lord will do. He turns the sinner right round. Away from their sin to seek the Lord God of heaven. And then secondly, it's real mourning. and real grieving of heart over those sins, and repenting of them before the Lord, confessing them before the God of heaven. Heart repentance is a blessed thing. The publican was blessed with it. The dying thief was blessed with it. David was blessed with it in Psalm 51. Oh, I love that psalm, you know. What does he say? Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Is that your prayer this evening? This is where the Lord had brought Jonah. We find this from the depths he was in. I am cast out of thy sight, yet. Wonderful thing if you and I have got a yet, isn't it? In what you may be into tonight, and what exercises, what concerns you, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. I will look again. Let's be very clear. It was no use him looking to himself, was it? Oh no, he brought himself into this trouble. It's no use looking to himself for any deliverance or divine aid. A poor, helpless worm. It was no use him looking around him, because all there was darkness in the fish's belly. Surrounded by darkness. There was only one place that he could look, and that was to God's holy temple. And who? And what does that represent? Well, the dear Lord Jesus himself. One of our hymns says, doesn't it, look to Jesus. And oh, may we be found tonight, whatever you may be in. You may say, well, I've looked to the Lord many times in my life. It's a wonderful mercy if we have. But you've got to look again. This is the instruction. So rested upon me this day, yet I will look again. The Lord may have assured you in a matter that he is with you in it. But you have to look again for him to confirm it. You have to look again for him to help you in it. You have to look again for him to appear in it. I saw just recently at a funeral a couple that I took their wedding many years ago now, and they reminded me of what I took at their wedding. And the word was this: whatsoever he commandeth you, that do. And they said to me, you know, through the years now of our life, we've had to seek the Lord for grace to do what he commands us. And I too saw too another couple that we took their marriage some years ago too, and they reminded me, it was quite encouraging really to me, what I took at their wedding. And it was this very text we have before us this evening. And they said to me, you know, there have been so many times through the years we've had to look again. Now, that's the message, and I would preach it to myself, that we might be continually looking again to the dear Redeemer. This is where Jonah had to look. Where are you looking and where am I looking tonight? Well, let's look at a few things. Firstly, we need the eye of faith to look. This is what the Lord was giving to Jonah in that fish's belly, the eye of faith. And what will the eye of faith do here? Look heavenward. Oh, it will. I think dear Noah, you know, when he was in the ark, and you know, many drawings have been made or paintings of an ark, and they often put windows in the side. But you know, the Word of God tells us that when the Lord gave Noah the instructions and measurements of how to build it, a window shalt thou put above, of a cubit, above. It must be above. So the only way Jonah could look here was above. The only way Noah could look was heavenward in the ark. And what teaching there is to a poor sinner in that, isn't it? I've indicated it's no use us looking to self. It's no use us looking to man. It's no use us looking to a false god like they did of old. But looking heavenward to the God of heaven. Yet I will look again. May that be the instruction to us each, whatever it may be in your providential pathway, you dear young ones. Look again toward thy holy temple, the dear Lord Jesus. And what will you look to him for? Well, let us just name a few things. You'll look to him for help each day. You think, really, you know, if we're really dependent upon the Lord, when we rise in the morning, if we're given strength to rise once more, we shall be looking to the Lord for him to help us again through the day. It won't be that day, it'll be each day. As the Lord helps. And he gives us that faith. And then you'll be looking to him for heavenly guidance and heavenly wisdom. The hymn writer said, give wisdom to direct our way and strength to do thy will. And you look to the Lord Jesus. Why? Because everything you need's in him. In him a rich fullness dwells and is freely given. And the poor sinner looks to the dear Redeemer. Jonah had to, because it was only the Lord that could deliver him. And the Lord was to bring him up out of that sea. But then you look to the Lord to feed you in your soul. You think of every time you come into the house of God here. Do you look to the dear Redeemer for a crumb here, a blessing here, a token for good there? And you look to him because you know in the inner precious Jesus there's everything you need. It pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. You got your emptiness, but you can draw from that fullness that there is in him and that ever abides to answer our need. And then you'll look to him for healing in times of affliction. Yet I will look again. Some of you may have walked through afflictions in days past, and then other afflictions come, and you have to look to him again, don't you? Think of that word again. He didn't just say that he looked toward thy holy temple. He looked again, which meant that he'd been there before. He looked before, but now he has to look again. And then you'll look for a blessing, won't you? Look to the Lord for a blessing in your soul. Look to him for pardon. Look to him to wash away, as we sung in that beautiful hymn just now, all the sins that plague you. Oh, you think of the riches there are in the precious blood of Jesus. It cleanseth the sinner of all sin. And really, you know, we should be looking to him again and again through every day and every hour for pardon. Why? Because fresh contracted guilt plagues the sinner's heart. There's not one moment that we live for what we sin. Mercy if we're kept outwardly, but think of the sins of thought, the sins of deed, the sins of our most holy things. It's a good prayer, you know, in the hymn, isn't it? Take away the love of sinning. Alpha and Omega be. Yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. And in matters that may concern you tonight, they may be just between you and the Lord. Nobody else knows anything about them. You look again toward the Lord's holy temple, because he can provide. You think of dear Elijah as he went through the journey. He had to look again at the brook Cherith, didn't he, for the Lord to send the food from heaven. And then when the brook was dried up, how he had to look again as he goes to Zarephath for the Lord to provide for him there. Every step of the journey, the same with the children of Israel as they journeyed. They had to look again toward the Lord to send the manna from heaven, didn't they? And he heard their petitions and he gave them the daily bread they needed, daily food. Yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. And then, oh, the sweet language of dear Jonah, the waters compass me about even to the soul. The depths closed me round about, the weeds were wrapped about my head. Oh, you think how the dear man must have felt there in that fish's belly in the depths. I went down to the bottom of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. Beautiful language, really, isn't it? And it was the Lord taught him this in the depths of the sea. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy, but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Now, just to be brief, but those vows you've got in your heart that you vowed to the Lord you would do, if he heard and answered your petitions, if he gave you your request. I will pay that I vowed. The Lord made him willing in the depths of that sea, in the fish's belly, to pay his vows. Like Hannah did, you know, with her Samuel. When she prayed for the Lord to give her Samuel, she said if the Lord were to give him to her, she'd lend him to the Lord as long as he lived. And she vowed that, and the Lord enabled her to fulfill it. You think when she took him up to present him before the Lord, for this child have I prayed, and the Lord hath granted me my petition that I ask of him. And then we read concerning dear Jonah. I will pay that I vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. Wonderful word that is, salvation, isn't it? It means full and complete deliverance. Oh, it does. You look at the Red Sea, they had to stand still to see the salvation of the Lord. And the Lord gave them it, didn't he? He delivered them. Full and complete deliverance, not only from the sea, but from Pharaoh and all his house. So great was the deliverance. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. Well, I've only scratched around the surface of this evening, but may this text be sweetly applied to each of our souls. Whatever you may come into in the days to come, the hours that may follow this service, I will look again. May that be our occupation. Yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. And no better place, poor soul, could you look. You may say, but I'm a poor, dying, perishing sinner. What does the hymn writer say? Dying sinner, look and live. May this be our occupation, not only from this service, but the remainder of our journey here below, and too in the swellings of Jordan. I will look again toward thy holy temple. And as the Lord enables you to, you'll prove the wonders God alone can do. Oh yes. And you'll bow to praise his blessed name and crown him Lord of all. As you see him work, he said, I will work, and who shall let it? And when he works, poor soul, you'll stand amazed at the wonders God alone can do. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Mark Seymour will preach next Lord's Day and Mr. Chapman on Friday evening next week. Let us close with hymn 82. Rejoice, ye saints, in every state. Divine decrees remain unmoved. No turns of providence abate God's care for those he once has loved. Hymn 82.
come over the poverty of our poor feeble attempts. Do bless thy own word. May we not leave it all on the chapel doorstep. May there be a little of the voice. Forgive anything thy pure eyes have seen amiss. Take us each now into thy kind care and keeping. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus, and the love of God, and the sweet communion and fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and remain with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.